when Sirianni was making those decisions and then they didn't work, and then you're set you in and you're sitting there watching the game thinking, were you thinking or texting or tweeting or saying to a friend,
oh yeah,
this guy might not be here much longer?
Well, listen, let's put this to bed. Nick Sirianni ain't going nowhere.
Well, not this week, but he might after the year.
Yeah, well, we can talk about,
because his job is on the line this year.
We can talk about afterwards, okay? But a guy with a 34-17 record, a Super Bowl appearance, Super Bowl loss, and three straight years in the playoffs, he's not going anywhere till the season's over.
I agree with that.
That's one of the reasons why he wasn't exiting the NovaCare Center this past year, because how do you justify firing a coach with those types of numbers?
Well, now, I will say this: when Bill Belichick is available, you can justify it after this year. Let's say AJ gets back and Devontae gets back and all that. This team goes 9-8, 10-7, loses in the first round. You can justify it. I mean, I'm watching that game yesterday.
You want to know who the next head coach of this team is going to be if they decide to move?
You're going to say Kellen Moore, aren't you?
Kellen Moore is going to be the new head coach. I promise you. All you want.
I want no parts of Belichick.
This reminds me of Richie Kotite being brought in Buddy's last year. We exited the playoffs three straight years in a row in the first round. They brought in Kotite. They made Buddy fire Ted Plum, who was the offensive coordinator. And every person knew that if we didn't win in at least the first round game in the playoffs, who was going to be the head coach the next year? This is what this is. Because you have to, at this point in time, you have to figure out how you create continuity for Jalen Hurts. You're paying him $250 million, okay? He ain't going nowhere. People can keep talking.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Stop it. Wait, what are you going to get better?
Well, I don't know, but I'll say this. I'll stand by as of now, and I might change this in a month or two. As of now, I'll stand by what I said after the Tampa Bay playoff loss last year. I do not think Jalen will be the starting quarterback in 2026. Now, that gives you two off seasons to figure it out, but I'm just telling you, if I had to make a call right now, in or out 2026, I think it's more likely Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman will be out. I hope I'm wrong, because he plays well enough to make it an easy decision.
Joe, let me tell you something. You don't position the kind of talent that you have on this team. You don't build that to turn around and turn it over to a young quarterback that's got to figure out how to get
there. Well, they did it at the end of Carson. They handed it over to Jalen Hurts.
They had to. Carson wanted out of here.
Well, he also stunk.
Well, listen, all Carson had to do to stay here, Joe, was when Nick Sirianni said there's no starting jobs, everybody's going to compete, they just paid you a boatload of money. Dummy, you're going to be the starting quarterback. You got a young quarterback who's coming, okay? But you're going to be the starting quarterback. There's no doubt about that. He wanted assurances that he didn't have to compete. Bye. Leave. Because everybody's got to compete. That's the only reason that Carson wasn't here. But you're not assembling all of this talent to turn around and have to dive through the development years. They're doing that with Jalen now. And my whole point is why, Kellen Moore's going to be here because you have to give him continuity. If he's going to be your quarterback and you're going to pay him a boatload of money, you owe him continuity to give him a system that not only he can use and learn, but a system that he can master. And when you see him making changes at the line of scrimmage, him asking for total control of setting protections, he's beginning to master the game now. Now, he's got to stop the turnovers. That's going to be the rallying cry. But look at how much better he's playing when he's doing what he does.
Look, 215-592-9494 to jump in on this. I'll say this about if they ever do make a coaching change, and at some point it's going to happen. To this point, their history, because Belichick's an option, Kellen Moore, as you're saying, is an option. Their history shows to this point, they typically, other than Chip Kelly, hire a guy you've basically never heard of, that he's not on the map. Andy wasn't on the map. Doug wasn't on the map, and we heard of him as an Eagles quarterback, but he wasn't someone anyone thought they were going to hire. Sirianni was completely off the map. They could go that route. Look, that's not this week's problem. I know a lot of people yesterday
Kellen's on the map. Oh,
he's on the map. No, he's an option. I'm not saying he's not an option.
He's on the map, but he's more along the lines of Doug Peterson and Nick Sirianni than he is Bill Belichick.
Oh, I agree with that.
I don't care what nobody said. They're not hiring Bill Belichick. You need to stop.
All right, let's go to Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. How we doing this morning?
Doing well, Tom.
You know, I have spent 50 years on this spinning rock rooting for this squad, and yesterday was the most pissed off I've ever been after a win.
Look, I thought it was really ugly and dirty, but still a W. You tell me your thoughts, Tom.
Well, they won in spite of Nish Chiriani. This guy, so after the game, I put on the red zone, so I like watching all the games. And as you're watching the games, they'll put, like, on, you know, stats on the side and tell you who the leaders are for the day. So after the 1 o'clock slate, we had the leading rusher in Barkley, the leading receiver in Goddard, and somehow the second leading quarterback in Hurts, and they still almost lost that game.
Well, for what it's worth, some of that's on Jalen. He had two big turnovers. But listen, Nick's decisions were a disaster. They actually were beyond a disaster. They were a fiasco.
Yeah,
it was a fiasco.
You know who he is? He when it comes to fourth down decisions, he's Doug Peterson in 17, only without the success. It's driving me bananas.
Well, the weird thing, Tom, is I thought Nick was really good at it in his first couple years. And you would think, if you have less responsibility with the offense, that if anything, you should be more in tune. I don't want to say paying attention, because we know he's paying attention, but like getting it right when it's your turn to have a crack at it.
I think that he has so little to do that he's trying to, you know,
a couple people have said that
with these decisions, and it's backfiring on him. It's just driving me nuts.
It's possible. I mean, I've heard a few people say that. Tom, appreciate the call. Let's go to Wade.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead,
before
Joe.
You go to Wade.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem. What you just talked about, his success with going for it on fourth down. This is the problem that, in my opinion, that analytics once again creates, because the more success these guys have, the more emboldened that they are to do it. And the more that emboldened they are to do it, the more likely that the law of averages is going to catch up with.
I agree with you.
Because I think that a successful team, you know, in going for it is probably right around 50, 52%. So analytics is really is highly probable. It's really a 50-50 proposition. So sometimes you're going to get away with it. Sometimes you're not going to get away with it. And mm-hmm. if you get away with it long enough, sooner or later, the law of averages is going to bite you in the ass, yeah. and it's going to go the other way. You can look across all games. Pete Carroll, you think if you gave him a redo, he'd hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch?
Right.
Dan Campbell last year, you think if you give him a redo, he'd kick the field goal instead of going for it and tie the game and mm-hmm. give his team a chance? He just stole a chance for his team to go to a Super Bowl because – he was living on the analytics. And Greg Olsen and everybody else, well, you know, he's been aggressive all year. I expect for him to go for it. No, you don't. You kick the damn field goal. Like, Nick almost lost the game yesterday.
No question.
Kick the field goals. Especially, you're seeing that this is going to be a low-scoring game. You have an opportunity to kick a field goal and go in 3-3 at halftime and come out with the ball in the second half. You have sure. another opportunity to go up 6-3. And instead of doing that, now all of a sudden, all it takes is one possession for them to give you a game. Now all of a sudden they have the lead, and here we are in pressure situation. It didn't have to be that way.
No,
if you just take the points. You did the same thing last week and we lost the game. And you doing the same thing this week and you almost cost the team another game.
Well, I agree, and I'll add this. I think he's coaching like he has the talent from 2 years ago, and he doesn't totally. I mean, let's put it this way. He doesn't have the offense isn't humming the same way. So you got to feel the chessboard has changed. Change with it. That's my point. Like, feel the game. Feel
the
moment.
He's emboldened, man. I'm telling you. He's emboldened to do it. And until he gets out of it, we're going to experience more and more of this. So I apologize for cutting you off.
No, you're
I know you
I
got
you.
Calls.
No, it's all good. All good. All right.